Throughout Scripture, we'll see Jesus say all sorts of difficult and demanding things, things that ring in our ears, things like, go sell all you have and give it to the poor, or be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Today's gospel, Jesus isn't demanding anything of us, though the things he says, I think, are just as hard. Rather, what he's doing is making a statement, making a promise, really. He says that I am the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Those who come to him will never be hungry. How is that? The bread that will satisfy all our longings. In fact, we are to feed on him, and we will, he says, be satisfied forever. That's difficult. And it is perhaps even ironic that the promise of Jesus that offends here rather than his demands or commands to us. For he promises that he is the answer to our deepest hunger, that we're to feed upon him, strange as though that is, and be filled, that he is to be more than food and drink is to us. That is, he is to be the source of our very sustenance, our very life. And it scares the wits out of us. And we're not sure what to do with that, to eat upon him and to live. And maybe part of our problem is it's not so much who was this Jesus, but rather our problem is who is this? I think that's one reason why certain kinds of biblical scholars spend all their time trying to kind of recreate a sort of historical Jesus. Because if we can put him into a historical category and put him into the past, he ceases to be a problem for us today. Jesus in today's gospel, to those original hearers, those who stood around him that day, he no doubt offended by saying, I am the bread that comes from heaven. I mean, it wasn't that they're necessarily such gullible, credulous, or ancient, or ignorant people, but rather that the one standing before them who invites them to eat upon him is himself awfully strange. John says he is the Word made flesh. He is God fleshed. God with us. Well, then, if that's the case, we ought not to be surprised he's at least confusing, if not downright difficult, demanding, and just bizarre. John will go on to say that this light, this flesh, this one, has come into our darkness, and his own did not receive him. Well, no doubt. Because it's hard to believe sometimes that God in the flesh really looks and acts and talks and speaks like this itinerant preacher from Nazareth. So many then were offended by him, as are so many now. I remember somebody in a Bible study years ago were saying something like, you know, if I had been there in the first century and encountered Jesus face to face, it would have been easier to believe. Right? If I'd come face to face and could decide for myself, is this one really God? It would be easier. Yeah, but it wasn't easy for those there then, the vast majority of whom rejected him, and by the end he's left with just a couple thieves. Our problem is not so much that we lack evidence, but the evidence we have is so strange to us, so difficult and demanding, or I am the bread of life, just so confusing. And maybe deep down it's really not even for us to choose to decide to believe in Jesus based on certain proofs or assumptions anyway. For Scripture bears witness to a Christ who has come to us, come to speak to us, come to reveal himself to us, come to draw us in to, it seems, a great and miraculous banquet. If you're here at Luther Memorial these few weeks, we're in the middle of 4 weeks of bread. The story opened last week in the 6th chapter of John with Jesus feeding the hungry multitudes, feeding the 5,000. By the end of that story, when everybody's full and there's lots left over and everybody's excited, they want to come and make Jesus king, no doubt so the king can provide more bread, more food, more stuff. And it says he disappears and then later reappears to his disciples on the sea amidst the wind and the waves and the terror. This miraculous feeding occurs in all the Gospels. It's a powerful image for the early church, no doubt in part because it foreshadowed God's great banquet at the end of the age when all are gathered. But those that day who first saw that miracle, who filled their tummies, perhaps knew little of Jesus' significance, certainly nothing of his upcoming death and resurrection, or about a holy meal he would institute with his disciples that would change the world. Those people that day are simply hungry. They are hungry for food, might be hungry for health, but perhaps more hungry for understanding. And this rabbi seems intent, committed, driven, perhaps, to simply feeding them. Then the story shifts ground, as we heard this morning. Jesus takes on the crowds and their questions, and through them, I think, attacks our ignorance, our sense of complacency, the our too comfortable sense that, oh yeah, we get it, we understand. It harkens back to the old story in the book of Exodus. God caused Moses to lead the people of Israel out of slavery, out of bondage in Egypt. And after the crossing of the Red Sea, they wander without a place to rest, without a place to call home. And they were hungry, and there is no food in the desert. And they murmur, they complain, or in the good Yiddish, they kvetch to the Lord. And the Lord, we read, hears the cries and sends manna to feed them. And as we know the story, they would gather the manna in the morning, just that which they need just for the day. Bread for the journey, bread for the day. And they believed that the Lord was with them. And they turned away from their disbelief and trusted, at least for a while, in that God had provided. I think the manna served at least two purposes. First, of course, it just simply fed them. They were hungry. And God provides them with food. But even more importantly, I think, even more importantly than simply being fed, was that the manna revealed in some way that the Lord was God, that the Lord had rescued Israel, that the Lord would be Israel's God, that the Lord was God and they were not. And the manna was a sign that this was so. Israel serves the Lord because the Lord had provided in a time of need. And well into the future, Israel would look back and say, God provided. Remember the manna. Remember who is God who provided the bread from heaven. In the Gospels we read last week, today, in the next couple of weeks, Jesus will exclaim, he will pronounce, he will promise to the disciples and to those around him, he is the new living bread, the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven. The crowds are confused. Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. This bread, this new bread, that he reveals as his own life, his own body, provides those who eat of it, he says, life eternal. It's not bread that merely assuages hunger for a short while, but provides communion. It provides new life. It provides life for the one in whom we eat, which is altogether different than anything that had gone on before. The manna rained down from heaven. Here the Son of Man comes down from heaven in the flesh that he gives for the life of the world. We will soon gather around the same table. We gather around every week here. We are commanded by the bread from heaven himself, to eat upon him, to feed upon his body and blood. In it we are no doubt nourished. We receive good things to eat. Long ago, when the manna fell down from heaven, the Israelites declared, well, what is it? And I think that's not uncommon what we do when we come to communion. What is this? How can this be? There's a whole lot going on here. Yet perhaps at the end of this wonderful gospel, the matter is in fact quite simple. It comes down to naming who is God. We believe that here in this place, we are in the Lord's presence, touched by the Father's love in Jesus, fed by the very bread of life given to us, renewed by the Spirit for us this day and for all days. If that's the case, that eating and drinking upon him names who God is, God come to us in the flesh, given to us, then it's hard to sit without a response. Don't get much credit for mere attendance. We come, we eat, we rejoice, we sing, we pray, we serve our neighbor in need who needs bread, bread to eat, but like us, needs the bread of life, the bread of heaven, which will sustain us and all creation until the last day when we shall together feast with him in glory. Amen.